Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Life on the front lines requires you to step up your game. Owned and operated by former Navy SEAL Sean Mattson, CardoMax has designed just the right supplements for you and is offering Drinkin' Bros an exclusive offer. Buy one, get one free on your first order. Go to CardoMax.com and use the promo code DB. That's CardoMax.com, helping you achieve your max. Welcome to Drinkin' Bros Fake News. D'Anthony, is it real or is it fake this week? I can never tell.
Fuck you talking about? The news. Why is this TV off over here?
The news itself. Why do we have to decide whether it's fake or real? It's all fake, right?
Well, that, how do you say the dude's name? Sager, not Sager. How do you say it?
Which
Giorgio?
One?
Giorgio? Sager, is that how you say it?
Sager.
They were on Rogan yesterday. He and Crystal Ball, they have a new news network that's really good.
Really?
Yeah. It's pretty much
what's the name
by
of it?
The book. Breaking Points? Yeah.
And is it a podcast?
Well, it's yeah, more or less.
Okay,
they're independently distributed now. They were working for somebody else, but they took it completely independent now.
Oh, that's nice.
Which is good. They were on Rogan this week. They're going to be on our show sometime within the next month or so, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think Ari's setting it up. I don't know if he's got an exact date or not.
That's great.
But it's good, yeah. More of these organizations that are not beholden to anybody.
Yeah.
The better, right?
I agree, and that's the only way we can get actual news. I know, you know, obviously the Daily, actually, yeah, it's just called the Daily, for New York Times,
yeah,
does really well, but it's all fucking bullshit, yeah. So... it's nice to have somebody just give you the news without, all right, great.
Well, I mean, right now I think even more important than just the news, because just getting a bulleted list of information doesn't help anybody. You gotta, people need context.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You need to be reminded that, like, here's five things that happened today. Here's what else has happened that makes that thing meaningful. Mm-hmm. Or here's, you know, give it context. They're doing a good job about that. And they're also, I think more important than just the facts right now is challenging all the other shit that's being done by the government and the media. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like calling people out when they're full of shit, like all this stuff that's been going on recently with the fact that 6 months ago, if you had said on Facebook or Twitter that that the virus came from a lab in China, for example,
mm-hmm.
you would have been banned. And now it is the most widely accepted viewpoint on that, including Jon Stewart going on Stephen Colbert's show.
I was just going to say, did you watch that?
Yeah.
It was wild, man. I was not expecting that at all because they're homies in real life.
Sure, they are. I mean, the reason that Colbert didn't rebuff him too much is because Stewart made him a lot of money, I would imagine. Right?
Well, that and the other thing that Jon Stewart is...
He's beyond reproach.
Than,
oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, sure, yeah.
And funnier than Stephen Colbert.
There is a wrinkle to the Jon Stewart thing that a lot of people don't know. Noted hypochondriac.
Jon Stewart?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Not like, oh, I have ADD. Like, oh, I'm a hypochondriac. I wash my hands. Is that like a fucking hypochondriac? Like a legit one.
But I will say this. I mean, look, when it comes to big events and things like that, like 9/11, for example, he's there, you know?
No, I know. I'm just saying the first time I saw that, and I'm not disagreeing with him, the first time I saw that, it was just like, it makes a lot of sense to me that he is on board with that theory, because he is very on board with how he views the world.
Well, look, there's a lot of hypochondriacs. Trump was one. Howie Mandel, very prominent. I know you're a big Howie Mandel fan.
He's a prominent what?
Very prominent hypochondriac.
Mm.
He's that. That's he was leading the charge. He was the first to do like fist bumps and all that other bullshit. We were just like, oh, are you? And then yeah, and then Howard Stern. He won't leave his fucking basement in the Hamptons. He's not going back into New York City. It's going to be him and his 43 adopted dogs and his wife, and that's kind of it. But yeah, he's afraid to leave the basement in the Hamptons, so he's still there. Wild. But with the Colbert thing. That was their first live show in front of a live audience back on air, and he had Stewart on, and I was surprised the convo went that route.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you could tell at the beginning that Colbert was extremely uncomfortable, one, And two, he wanted to navigate out of that as quickly as possible, and Stewart wouldn't let him.
No.
Which was really funny. Yeah. I mean, it's that's the thing, though. The point of all that was that I think that it's more important to challenge the authority of the mainstream media and the government even more so than it is to report news right now, which is basically what we do as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're not reporting. Well, every now and again, we break some news, but for the most part, it's like, they said this, here's what the reality is.
Yeah.
Right? So it's important. They're doing that over there.
It is. And I'll be on the lookout for those guys now, because I was struggling, man. I was on a Ross Patterson Revolution talking about this, and I was like, where do we go for just news anymore? And I have not heard of this. It's called Breaking Point?
I think that's the name of the new show. Hang on.
Okay, cool.
Sager cool. And
I'm
going
to listen to it on the way home. If it's
Sager and Yeti?
News.
Is it in Yeti? Is that how you say his last name? Or is it in Yeti? In Yeti?
Do you know, Giorgio?
It was called Rising before, and it was on.
On me. It's Sager and Chris.
Sager, that's
Breaking
it.
Breaking Points. They had a great interview with Joe. They used to be on The Hill.
The Hill
still was
partisan.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a Comcast subsidiary, I believe. So, like, even though they didn't come in and say they couldn't talk about certain things, they did feel pressure from them, and so they just wanted to take it.
Well, that woman on the Houston News Channel did the other day, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's her name? Ivory some shit? She was giving, like, a weather report on potential hurricanes or some shit, and she was like, before we get to that, I just want to let you know that I gave a bunch of shit to Project Veritas because I've been getting muzzled here at the company. Anyways, there's some hurricanes coming. It was really funny. It was really funny. And we'll see. Like, I watched the bit that she did on Veritas, and I thought it was kind of bullshit for one reason. She definitely recorded her bosses, and they were definitely trying to fucking massage the news. There's no question about that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The other thing that Veritas did was that they secretly recorded two other employees of the company that were basically on Veritas' side, and then published that with their fucking faces, very observable, and their names in there.
Yeah.
Now, I highly doubt that those people agree to that, because the position of the camera is from down here up. Right?
No, so none of them filmed. Agree to
so,
that. Yeah.
So James O'Keefe is a fucking cunt. He is a piece of shit human being. He does this shit all the time. He doesn't care about the fallout of his actions. These are people that are working their jobs, that he sent his team to fucking get this information from, and did nothing to mask their identity. They didn't agree to any of this shit. They're living in the same fucked up world everybody else is. That guy's a cunt, and I hope he gets fucking canceled.
Gotcha journalism is what they call it in the biz. And is it ethical? No. Or is the media ethical? No. I don't know. The more shows like the ones that you named, if that is in fact true, and they're just reporting the news, the better we are. Because otherwise, if you don't know the media is slanted by now, like, you know, having James O'Keefe and all those other guys, like, you should know that.
Yeah.
But I guess some people don't. Now on to the real news, kids. Biden.
Just one more time before we move on. Fuck James O'Keefe.
Sure.
Fuck him.
There you go.
He's a cunt.
Yeah. You want one more threes? It's kind of comedy's the rule of three.
He's a cunt.
There you go.
Big time.
There you go.
Doesn't deserve to breathe air on this planet. Not just because of this, because of all the weird shit he's done to women over the years. The end.
Is there weird shit for James O'Keefe? I don't know anything public about him, actually.
Nothing public. Just friends of mine.
Ooh.
All right. Anyways.
We might have to do a 1 hour on those spicy details.
What would be great is this 1 hour of me in a room alone with that guy. And I would just beat him senseless and then pull each individual hair out of his body. Starting from the feet,
yeah,
the toes, the top of the foot hair, then all the leg hairs individually.
Those are sensitive. Yeah. And then you go eyebrows. Eyebrows are another tricky one there. Pubes, don't even get me started. Ah, fuck. Since we're here, who cares today? We're partying today. Mm. Who cares? Steve-O is making a Sasquatch suit out of pubic hair, and he's asking for everybody with large amounts of pubic hair to meet him at this one place in L.A., and that was actually on my Facebook feed, and I really enjoyed that.
That's really weird.
It's great. So he said he's been shaving himself for years, saving it in bags for this moment to build this Sasquatch suit. Bob, can you bring that up? I saw the amount of pubic hair that was in these bags. I mean, it was crazy. But he finally just said, look, I don't have enough, and I'll I'll never have enough, so therefore I've got to outsource and try to find others with huge amounts of pubic hair.
It's good to know your limitations.
This should be our top story, so I know this is on the fly, Bob, and I don't care. But just type in Steve-O pubic hair Sasquatch and then see where that brings us. There it is right there. Yep. Oh, damn it. Damn it. It's a lot. That is a lot of hair. So he's been collecting it, but it's obviously not enough for a suit.
That's like 2 months worth.
For you, you're Greek.
Yeah, it's true.
For me, shit, I shave twice a year. Once every 6 months, I'll trim up down there. And I'll use like a one, you know? Like that Manscaped is the goddamn best. I know they're not a sponsor anymore, but that's why. The product was so good, you don't have to fucking buy it again. It's great.
I mean, I use a little bit more than you do.
Yeah, you do.
You're
Greek, brother. Come on, dude. You're shaving every hour on the hour, probably. You know? Top story here this week. Biden unveils his new national security plan, and it seems like a blast. On Tuesday, the Biden administration released their strategy for countering violent extremists and domestic terrorists. The target of the plan should be obvious to anyone who has been following the previous year of unrest. Militias and white supremacists, Dan. They're everywhere, apparently. I think, is there any normal people that aren't in one?
In a militia?
Yeah, because or just white supremacists, because the media makes it seem like that's all we're living in. You know, everybody's a white supremacist.
Yeah, I don't know.
The National Security Council has pledged to focus on curbing the spread of militia extremism and white supremacy, which they claim are the most persistent and lethal threats to American safety. Now, the definition of domestic terrorism the NSC is using is stated as activities that involved, activities that involved acts dangerous to human life that are a violation of the criminal laws of the United States or of any states. They appear to be intended or to intimidate or coerce the civilian population, to influence the policy of government by intimidation, or they affect the conduct of a government by mass destruction, assassination, or kidnapping.
So like Antifa or BLM then?
Correct. Correct.
Okay, sweet.
So why aren't they all lumped together is what I don't understand.
For the same reason that a story we'll get to here in a minute, where there were 14 people shot in Austin, right? And the description of the subject, who, by the way, was still at large at the time, was notably absent. And
sure.
It's because the description was skinny black guy with dreads.
Yep.
That's why.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's not in vogue to report news. It's in vogue to report 1619-based anti-white bullshit. That's why. I mean, it's pretty simple.
Yeah. And this is only going to continue. They're going to use the insurrection thing forever and say that
the insurrection thing. Now you're talking about the insurrection that was partially planned by FBI agents, right?
Yeah. So, and that's kind of what I wanted to ask you about. The Democrats are saying, well, that's why we should have had the investigation if that's really true. Right. Republicans are saying it is true in reports. I don't know the real answer to this. Where did you hear about it first? I've heard about it from different people. But I don't have a direct source.
I
to
heard
this knowledge.
It from Tucker Carlson, who is
that's
look,
right. That's what I heard too.
He's
You're right.
He looks like the kind of guy that would say, "Do you know who my dad is?" But
yeah,
frequently reports stuff like this, and you know, the Vanity Fair tried to run an article, or they ran an article rather. Yesterday that tried to make it seem like he was saying it was a false flag operation. That's not the case. It's just incompetence on the FBI's part. So that we talked about it with Mike yesterday on the show, but that kidnapping plot against Governor Whitmer in Michigan, two of the four people involved were an FBI agent and a fucking his informant. Mm-hmm. Now, it wasn't that the FBI wanted to kidnap Governor Whitmer. That wasn't what it was. It's that they're going out looking for people who are lunatics and then fucking basically inciting them to do stuff and then arresting them for it. It's called entrapment.
Ah,
right.
Gotcha.
And to be honest, after all this documentation came out about their involvement in some of this stuff, a lot of these dudes are going to get off now.
Oh, yeah.
Which
for
is
sure.
Fucking really stupid because all those people belong in jail.
So, serious question, because you worked in government.
Hmm?
Why and how are they able to get away with this? And what's the motivation? Is it political?
The motivation is absolutely political, yes, okay, for sure. And why they do it is because the same reason that cops plant evidence sometimes, because mm-hmm. it's lazy, right? But it's due process matters more than any individual conviction. Just how it is. That's why it's the same thing with gun. Like conservatives see it from the side of gun laws all the time. Yes, if crazy assholes get their hands on guns, shit's going to go wrong. Typically. Yeah. But if we close off all the potential ways that a crazy person might get a gun, you're violating everybody's rights all at the same time. That is untenable. You can't do it.
Sure.
Same way, if you fucking do shit like this and push people over the edge of doing things that they were thinking about, or maybe they're crazy and maybe they were thinking about doing it, but they weren't. They didn't have the ability to until you showed up to do it. That is entrapment, and it can't happen. That's all he's saying. I don't think maybe Carlson came to the conclusion at some point that the government wanted to make some kind of scene or whatever the fuck. I don't know about any of that. All I do know is that this is garden variety incompetence on behalf of the FBI.
So what happens to these guys afterwards, right? So when
which guys?
The FBI. So let's say they come up in the reports with the Capitol or the Gretchen Whitmer thing. Mm-hmm. What does the government do about it afterwards? Do these guys get to keep their jobs? Are they fired? How does that work?
Who knows, man? I mean, it depends on if their names become public. Now, it does seem like somebody has figured out who the dude that shot that Air Force chick in the Capitol was, based on some like beads he was wearing on his arm.
Okay.
It's a black dude. And, you know, a lot of people on the right, a lot of super far right leaning people are calling it an execution and blah, blah, blah. If it was indeed the policy of Secret Service and the uniform division of the Secret Service, that was the last line of defense, and that until the elected leaders of the country were secured, that was a fucking no-go line, then that is what it is.
Yes.
There is legal precedent for that, and you're not going to get a conviction. Yeah. You might think it's unethical. Maybe it was, but that's not. There's no point in pursuing that.
No, and look, you break into the Capitol, that's what's going to happen.
Right.
On either side. Mm. So I don't have I don't have an issue with what that officer did, simply because, yeah,
right.
if that's the last line of defense between that and the politicians, like, you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, it is what it is. And there were a lot more than just one person there, although it was weird that she was the only one trying to jump through the window, I guess. But anyways, in all the FBI charge documents, there's a phrase called unindicted co-conspirators.
Okay.
Right? Those are in legal parlance, that's either a cooperating witness, mm-hmm. right? Or it's a fucking undercover UC. And they're littered in all these charge documents. They're all over the place. So it seems like the FBI had people undercover in this Oath Keepers organization. And there are two specific people just in that one part of this that were assisting in making all this happen, and they have not been charged with anything. And the presumption is that they were UCs.
Got it.
And then the presumption is if that was the case and they had plans before they got there that day, one, we already know that DC wasn't prepared to handle any of that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has said that from both sides of the aisle, right?
Yeah.
Whether it be having the National Guard there, or having the police staged in a way that made sense, or doing the checks beforehand. Because if you remember, there was also parts that could have been assembled to make a bomb somewhere nearby that had been placed before
mm-hmm.
all the checkpoints went up. So everybody failed in all of this. And if the government had knowledge beforehand that it was going to turn out that way, and instead of putting the kibosh on it to begin with and arresting these people before they even showed up, they waited and let some of this stuff play out, let a police officer stroke out twice and die,
mm-hmm.
let a bunch of damage be done, right? Why would they have done that? You have to assume that it was politically motivated.
It's what it seems like to me.
Or extremely incompetent. In either case, everybody at the FBI who was in charge or involved in that in any way has got to go either to jail or the unemployment line.
Yeah.
Right? That's just how it's got to work. That job's too important to have incompetent or unethical people working there.
And the reason why I'm against the investigation, because they, you know, that was almost voted on we need this investigation, is it's just a bunch of political grandstanding on both sides. You're not going to hear any real facts about any of that shit.
No.
Why waste everybody's fucking time with that stupid shit?
Well, that's all politics is these days. It's political theater.
Yes.
It's all a waste of time.
So no, don't spend any fucking money on that, dude. Spend some money on some other shit, like ghost beds. Get yourself a mattress from ghostbed.com/drinking bros. 30% off the mattresses, kids. And when you get the mattress, you're getting two free pillows. That deal is back. The sheets, better than Ezra. God damn it, they're nice to sleep on. I love them. I love them more than my third child. Kidding, I don't have one. But if I did have a third child, I would definitely love the sheets more than them. Because it's a third child and you don't really care about a third child at that point. At ghostbed.com/drinking bros, when you're there, there's a 36-month pay-as-you-go program, no interest, as long as you have decent credits. And you can bundle all those deals that I mentioned before with that. And there's a running calculator on the side that'll tell you how much you're up to in your little cart. You can check out and live your best life. Sleep so good, it's scary at ghostbed.com/drinking bros. Next up, D'Anthony. This isn't on the list, but I wanted to chat about it. That G7 summit is come to a close. Everybody was talking about this Biden versus Putin showdown.
Yeah. Yeah, my favorite part was where during a press conference, he opened up by saying, I'll take your questions. And as usual, folks, they gave me a list of people I'm going to call on.
I could not believe he said that.
That's like, you know how you've read off a teleprompter before. Anything yes. that's in brackets or parentheses, you don't say out loud.
Yeah.
Like those are just like look to camera 7 or something like that. You know what I mean? And there'll be a big 7 underneath that camera and you look over to that camera and then you keep talking.
Yep.
He's saying the stuff out loud that he's not supposed to say out loud because he has vascular dementia.
When you say that, because look, Trump used to get buried for not taking people's questions and things like that.
He also used to get buried for roasting
the reporters yeah.
which Biden also did.
And I don't mind if you I don't have the problem with Biden. I don't have the fucking problem with Trump. If a reporter asks a dumb question, they should get fucking roasted.
Well, in this case, she didn't ask a dumb question. The reporter said he was walking off and he started to turned around to start answering a question that they had asked that he didn't like. You could tell that he was offended by something, so he turned around.
What was it? Did you?
I don't. It was something about. Hold on,
Hunter.
Fucking, I'll look.
Was it about Hunter? Sweet Hunter.
It was Caitlin Collins, by the way, from CNN.
Ah.
the president stopped to answer a question about Americans being detained in Russia, and he said, "I'm not going to walk away on that." And he had intimated that, or he had at least given the impression that the conversation went well, right? So she said, why are you so confident he'll change his behavior? And Joe said, I'm not confident he'll change his behavior. Where the hell, what do you do all the time? When did I say I was confident? And he continued saying, I'm not confident of anything. I'm just stating a fact. And then she says, but given his past behavior has not changed. And then in the press conference, after sitting down with you for several hours, he denied any involvement in cyber attacks. He downplayed human rights abuses. Mm-hmm. He even refused to say Alexei Navalny's name. How do you consider that a constructive meeting? Because he had referred to it as a constructive meeting.
Oh, gotcha.
And then Joe responded, if you don't understand that, you're in the wrong business. And then he walked away. So if he doesn't, if she doesn't understand how meeting with Vladimir Putin and he wouldn't even admit to the thing, that he wouldn't even say the dude's name or admit that any of the shit existed that you went to meet about is a constructive meeting. And she asked, how is that constructive? You know, you ain't black.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
By the way, on that whole domestic terrorism thing, the Capitol riots cost something like $30 million. BLM and Antifa are responsible for just north of $1 billion as of June 2020. I don't know what it is now. Yeah. Can't find the number because they stopped reporting it.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was $1 billion by June of last year. So a year ago was $1 billion. Okay? Just for perspective.
So you're saying there's room in the budget for them to match and go up to that, like if they wanted to.
I'm saying,
looking at budgets, brother.
I think we could go back to that police opt-out thing that I came up with, and any of the businesses that supported these movements, you don't get your insurance money, you're done.
Yeah,
you're out.
Yeah.
And all the money goes towards rounding up these Antifa people, putting them into a fucking trebuchet and launching them into the ocean. And if they can make it back, they can swim back, they can stay here.
Congratulations. You get a country. You treat them like it's old school. It's very, very old school how you used to get to America from Cuba and things like that. It's like, look, you've got to swim back into the country. We'll meet you at Ellis Island.
Yeah. Anyways.
Make it. We'll see you there.
Anyways, Biden has clearly got some issues, right? He also said, God damn, dude. this motherfucker, during the meeting with Putin, he said that he, I want to read it. He said that he gave Putin a list of 16 things that are off limits for cyber attacks on critical infrastructure.
Why isn't everything off limits for cyber attacks? Why 16? Hey, so there's these 16 I'm real serious about. But, you know, everything else, like if you want to hack into Chipotle, you're fine, I guess. So that, you know, if you do it to a restaurant chain, I know, right. I know our fucking producers wouldn't be fine with it. You guys eat Chipotle every goddamn day.
Yeah. Well, it's he's not in charge of anything, clearly.
No.
Right?
No.
He's just repeating things that people have told him. He openly admitted that his staff gave him a list of reporters to call on during this press conference. He's often relied on a list of pre-approved journalists to take questions from, which isn't uncommon. He just says it out loud. And he's also, if you saw him at that meeting the other day, he had a fucking a card, like a flash card in his hand, and it was just like anti-Trump rhetoric over and over. If anybody asked him a question, it was like, if they ask you this, say this.
Yeah.
Like, Donald Trump was bad.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, that's you can literally read the card.
Oh, yeah, 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 I saw it.
In January, a member of Biden's staff was heard calling on a specific reporter to ask their questions to avoid other media outlets getting to that question, even though they were in line. Let's see, what else? Everybody remembers that scene where Biden started to answer, like, all right, now I'm going to take your questions. Like, yep.
Yeah, it's all gone.
Like, oh, shit.
All gone.
I guess that's gone. Yeah, so the photo that I'm talking about showed it was a card labeled infrastructure, and it had a list of facts and talking points. And then it had, like, a list of ways to criticize Trump while he was doing it. Motherfucker, he's been gone for months now. Like, how long do you get to play that card exactly?
All you
cats, it's like the blame Bush shit. That lasted into the Obama thing, and then the blame Obama thing that lasted in the Trump administration. At some point, you got to put your big boy pants on, take some responsibility.
Man. I wouldn't even talk about the last president. If I were any president, I'd be like, look, that guy, I don't really know, and I'm not going to discuss it, you know?
Yeah, and then later, another press conference that happened recently, Biden said out loud to the press corps again that he had to follow a pre-approved plan for the session, saying, quote, I'm sorry, I'm going to get in trouble with staff if I don't do this thing the right way. And then he says, I'm going to get in trouble with my staff. Yeah, go ahead, but pretend I didn't answer you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd be happy to take questions if that's what I'm supposed to do, Nance. Talking to Nancy Pelosi. I'm sorry, this is the last question I'll take. I'm really going to get in trouble.
Oof.
That's what you want to hear from your president, that he's afraid of fucking minimum wage staffers at the White House.
Well, I think he's just afraid of speaking, public speaking. And they're limiting his statements and time and all that other stuff.
My Uber driver the other day tried to tell me that whole speech impediment thing. I'm like, pausing. Yeah. I'm like, pausing for 10 seconds after somebody asks you a normal question. And then when you start to answer them, they cut off the feed because they know you're about to say something stupid is not an impediment.
No.
Sorry, bro. And we also have, by the way, 40-plus years of video of him not having a speech impediment.
He was a really good public speaker.
It's going to be difficult to go. Like, I don't know. People just, like, expect you to suspend your I guess if they expect you to think that, I don't know, a disease that's so deadly that you have to be told you have it is a good reason to shut the entire country down.
Yeah.
If people believe that, they'll believe anything, right?
Yes.
And
if you just keep drilling it in people's heads over and over again. And yeah, they're like, all right, great. Most of the people believe that. We're
fucking
good to go.
Mongoloids.
Good to go. Good Mother says, we have too many incompetent people in positions of power due to this university indoctrinated.
Yeah, we'll get to the university thing soon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we'll chat about that, Good Mother, for sure. We'll also chat about killcliff.com. Mm. Killcliff CBD is my go-to at night, right? I went over my schedule this morning. I start off with coffee, and then I go to a liquid IV. And then I go to a little bit of fucking Cardomax in the afternoon if I'm feeling a little down.
Yeah, whether you have a penis or you're a birthing person, either way, CBD is good for you.
It's great for you. And then at nights, I go with the Killcliff CBD because I have trouble sleeping. That's my thing. 25 milligrams of in every single can of the Killcliff CBD. It's all at killcliff.com. You can not only just the CBD drinks that are 25 milligrams in every can, to get 30% off and free shipping when you use the promo code Drinking Bros. But you can get anything off you want. I mean, there's a whole Killcliff refrigerator behind you right now, Dan.
Well, yeah, I mean, technically that's full of one Killcliff and a bunch of White Claw now, I guess.
Seltzers until ours are ready. But look, this is a huge savings. In being in this game now, about to sell these seltzers and trying to get free shipping for drinkables, fuck, man, that's a monster savings. 30% off at killcliff.com with the promo code DRINKINGBROS and free shipping. Go nuts. Get the Flamin' Joe, by the way, that Joe Rogan's drink, the pineapple and jalapeno.
Yeah,
it's back.
Really good.
It's very good. And I believe they have it in Ignite as well, as well as the CBD. And last but not least, that you will not piss hot on a drug test. There is no THC in any of their CBD drinks. Killcliff is the only name you can trust in that space as far as the drinkables go. Don't risk it. Go to killcliff.com. Promo code DRINKINGBROS, 30% off and free shipping off of everything. Next up, this George Floyd trial.
Wait, you're just skipping one.
We'll go back to it. We'll go back to it. I wanted to get to this just because I watched the doc yesterday.
Oh, there's a documentary?
Well, that's what they're doing now because they're getting rid of TV shows. So I wanted to chat about this. But these trials are not over yet. The three former Minneapolis police officers accused of aiding and abetting the murder of George Floyd are scheduled to stay in trial beginning March 7th of 2022. Initially, the three men were scheduled to go to trial in August, but the judge has decided to delay the case due to public unrest, which is weird to me. J. Alexander Kung, I don't know if I'm saying that right.
Yeah.
Thomas Lane.
It's three dudes who were who all had less than one-third of the time on the force, and the guy who actually got convicted did.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no fucking possible way these people should be convicted of a crime. It's absolute nonsense. If the most senior guy on the scene gets convicted of a crime, you're not responsible unless he's, and more so, a national like fucking use of force expert said blah 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 what he did, that it wasn't outside of Minnesota or Minneapolis's fucking protocols. The chief of Minnesota or Minneapolis police had to say the same.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, they still convicted him somehow. I don't know, of second degree murder.
Yeah,
like still unbelievable at that point. I think that's probably going to get overturned at some point, and there'll be more riots. But the guys who are subordinates to this man getting caught up in this after all that, and after the video shows him moving his knee back and forth the whole time, no fucking way. But maybe it will, because last time, the city government allowed, and the federal government, which is supposed to be in charge of hate crimes or whatever the fuck, right, or at least get involved in it, allowed, and they had the National Guard activated.
Mm-hmm.
Even though the National Guard was activated, people are right outside of the jury deliberation building, screaming and protesting and yelling, right? And somehow they allowed that to happen.
Well.
Right? So maybe these three dudes are fucked. I don't know.
I don't know. But is it strange that they're being accused of preventing bystanders from intervening because of the arrest? Because that's what they're supposed to do. When I watched that footage, you know, they were looking at all the people screaming and everything else, right? They didn't really have that much focus on George Floyd because the other officer did. And then after we had Eric Tanzi and Mike the Cop on yesterday, they're going to do a full episode on that trial.
Yeah, next Friday.
Yeah, next Friday. We learned that it was like, oh, they were waiting for the, you've got to wait for the paramedics to come.
Right.
In a case like that. Yeah. So
If he has excited delirium, there's only a couple ways to deal with that. Like, you can restrain them all you want. They're going to keep fighting. You got to hit them with fucking ketamine or some shit to knock their ass out.
Right, which the police don't have. So
right. No. Nor should they, by the way.
No.
You don't want police administering drugs like
now,
that.
Now, if you
want
to give it to Dan Holloway, he's
I've got plenty. Yeah, I'm good.
You're good on the K?
Yeah, I'll take some Adderall, though.
Giggle boys. Love it. It's, to me, watching that footage again, they were standing looking out. They weren't really looking at George Floyd. So I don't know what the charges are going
to
be here.
No, their job is to secure the area.
Correct.
If you're in a fucking sniper team, right, your job is to either be a spotter during the shot or during prep for the shot.
Mm-hmm.
You're either drawing a range card or you're fucking pulling local security. That's your job.
Yep.
Know what the people that are charging with this don't know what cops do, clearly. It's nonsense. Once you have the guy restrained, you don't fucking stand there in a semicircle around the dude. You fucking face outward. Pull security.
Yeah. Yeah.
Turn around and fucking look at people. Make sure that you don't get overrun, idiots.
So the interesting fact of this whole thing that I wanted to chat about today, because I literally just watched this last night, was ABC News is now doing documentaries about, you know, big stories. One of them was the George Floyd. It was the year anniversary from when he was killed.
Mm.
It always seems weird to have an anniversary of when somebody was killed, obviously.
Yeah.
But, the reason why I was so fascinated in it is the two journalists from ABC News led off with, we're not going to show any footage from that woman's cell phone who took the video. We're also not going to show any body cam footage. We're just going to celebrate the life of George Floyd.
Yeah.
For an hour in this doc. And I was like, all right, so you're not going to go into any of it and kind of just say maybe something else happened here other than this. Instead, it was just a 1 hour sesh of like a blame game of like, well, you know, the store could have been a little nicer and accepted that fake $20 bill and things like that. I mean, it was strange, man. And so the media is not only controlling the narrative during, but then after of like, all right, well, if that's the doc you're going to show your kids, because it's on Hulu. Obviously, Disney owns ABC and Hulu. That would be the only story you really know about it. It's getting weirder and weirder, and I don't know where we are. You've got your answer. This is your narrative. We're all done here. But if this goes to a retrial, holy shit, dude.
Well, I mean, look, I can't imagine how Chauvin's verdict doesn't get overturned. Or at least he gets a retrial in a different state, maybe. Like, I don't know how that fucking works. Like, you can't have, like, clear and present danger outside of the building, a true form of intimidation outside of the deliberation hall, and expect that to stand up. Yeah. There's no way. Because it may take 3 or 5 years to happen, but at some point it's going to go to federal courts. Yep. And they're not going to fucking accept that. They can't.
No.
Because then it would be allowed everywhere else. You know what I mean? It's just, they can't do that. Say what you want about activism in federal courts, and it does happen a lot, but you see it today. The Supreme Court rejected that fucking overturning Obamacare again. Mm-hmm. And they'll keep doing it. They're never going to do that. First of all, it's only 20% of the insured health care or the insured population, not of the entire population, but of the insured population. 20% right. of them are even on Obamacare,
right.
first of all. Secondly, they're not going to just fucking... The power vacuum that would happen if you just removed that many people's health insurance all at once, it's no fucking way. If Republicans want to overturn this shit, they need to come up with a plan that makes sense.
Right.
And they haven't. They've had 20 years.
So
actually, they've had 25 years because Hillary Clinton was beating this drum in the mid-90s, and they knew it was going
to
happen.
This was the individual states that were trying to get this done at the Supreme Court, and then they tossed it. They didn't read it.
Yeah,
it was 7-2.
7-2, yeah. I mean, fucking... John Roberts, Clarence Thomas, Kavanaugh, and Barrett, and Breyer all said, or I'm sorry, and Barrett all joined Breyer and fucking Kagan and Sotomayor and be like, no.
Yeah.
This is fucking stupid. What you're saying is stupid. Like, the law might be fucked up, but the part you're challenging is not. That's what they've been trying to do for this whole time. Like, it's challenge individual pieces. There's three tenets to the law, and if they think, the Republicans think if you can knock down one of them, you'll be able to knock down the whole thing. Why don't you just come up with a better fucking plan, you stupid bitch? You're always complaining about goddamn judicial activism, but you're trying to do it yourself? Shut the fuck up. All politicians are cunts, by the way. You can read it right there.
And the real story to this Obamacare thing that you were saying, you know, 20% are insured, they need a certain number to keep going. Otherwise, the premiums keep going higher and higher and higher, which is obviously what's happening. Having been on it and not been on it now... I don't know how it continues other than, like, I guess people on, like, Medicare or Medicaid or things like I don't know how it continues because it's just getting too high. The premiums are so fucking high.
They're too high because nobody participates in it because it's a shitty system.
Yeah, and I get...
And everybody knows it. Even the people that are pro-government controlling things know that that's a shitty system, so they won't take part. Only the people that have to, like Medicare...
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I get hit up like people get hit up for student loans where they call like, you know, once a week or send an email once a week. Sure you don't want it anymore? It's like, no.
There's an old joke about how it took us 10 years to find Bin Laden. We should have just convinced them that he had outstanding student loans because they will find you if you're living anywhere on the side of a goddamn mountain. They'll parachute in like, hey, it's $35,000, buddy.
Yeah, that.
Like, yeah, well, I'm not paying it. So
that Obamacare and then the warranty on your car is up and we're going to find you for that one.
Yeah.
Next up, 14 people were shot in downtown Austin and the media are protecting the shooter. We chatted about this a little earlier. They actually released one of the kids' names, Jeremiah Roshan,
the one that's been
James Tabb.
Yeah,
that's a 5-name government name, and that's a lot. I don't think I've seen 5 names like that before.
Yeah, the other guy,
John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt.
I don't know if they've caught yet. He may have just been an accomplice, in which case he may not be charged as an adult. But the 17-year-old's being charged as an adult.
Yeah.
14 people were injured.
One ended up dying later.
Yeah. Unnamed suspect was arrested Saturday afternoon. But before he was arrested, the press, including the Austin Statesman here and the New York Times, Washington Post, et cetera, all had articles about this. Not one of them mentioned the dude's race or name or showed a picture of him. And this was at a time when it was like hours after an active shooter situation where the suspect was still at large. Mm-hmm. And they didn't show, this is the problem with, this is a very real example of how political correctness will get you killed, right?
Yeah.
Because you are so afraid of the implications, whether it be from your political agenda or how people might perceive you for reporting that, of reporting the actual facts to find this asshole. He was out there in a danger to other people for way longer than he needed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's fucking stupid.
It's crazy to me. And look, a lot of people were scared. Shit, I got a bunch of text messages when I woke up. I wasn't downtown, but you and I go down there all the time.
Yeah.
It's right by Vulcan. Mm-hmm. And we're down on 6th Street a lot for different events and all kinds of shit. I woke up to it, and it was my mom who had texted me in North Carolina and was like, hey, were you down there or whatever? And I was like, no, I wasn't down there. And she goes, well, the shooter's still at large. And I was like, oh, shit, who was it? If you don't have a picture and you don't release a name, what the fuck are we looking for doing everything else?
Here's what the police had, they had the description, which was a slim black male with dreadlocks wearing a black T-shirt. The Austin American Statesman wrote the following. The Austin American Statesman is not including the description as it is too vague, and such publication could be harmful in perpetuating stereotypes.
Yeah. Yep.
So perpetuating stereotypes somehow worse than people being at danger from an armed gunman on the loose. So they don't really care about guns that much.
No. It's right? Who is holding the gun that they actually care about. And it's important to note that the Austin Statesman will be out of business within a year. That is not just speculation. That is actually pure fact.
Yeah.
When we moved to town here, that was one of the first places they showed us commercial real estate-wise. Was they were like, hey, do you want your own floor at the Austin Statesman? I was like, yeah. Huh? And they were like, yeah, they're going to blow it up within 12 to 18 months and get rid of it. I forgot who bought the real estate. Somebody massive.
It's probably Bezos, right?
I think it was Oracle, maybe. It might have been Larry Ellison.
Oracle's better than him, I suppose.
Yeah.
I was hoping that was where they'd build the stadium for the Oakland A's or Los Angeles Angels, and they finally get them out of that shitty area.
It doesn't it need to be a National League team in Texas, though?
It's right on the river.
Like, they're going to have to convert whomever it is to National League. You can't have three American League teams in one state.
Oh, maybe. I actually don't know the rule. They could swap it, whatever.
Maybe.
No one's pining to keep the Angels in the American League.
No one's pining to keep the Angels anywhere.
No. No, but who else is in Texas? We got the Rangers down here.
Houston.
Astros. But we don't have anybody in Central Texas or San Antonio.
No.
I know San Antonio was pitched for a while, too.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, if they were smart, they would put it in between, like in San Marcos.
Yeah.
That'd be a good place to put it. Or yeah. Newton. Maybe New. I don't know if New Braunfels is big enough, but that wouldn't be that much different than what the Braves did.
Yeah, with Cobb County. Yeah. Yeah. Austin would be great, though. Shit. Mm-hmm. My son's taking me to the soccer game for Father's Day Saturday night. So I'll get to check it out. Maybe it's the heat. Well, you would build a fucking dome.
It's 8 p.m.
Yeah. No. You would build a dome for the baseball team. Baseball's all summer long. I mean, every single day.
This isn't the hottest place where baseball would be played outdoors.
Where is that?
I mean, Houston's more humid than here.
But Houston's got a dome, right? They
yes.
Yeah. Is it a dome?
And yeah. they keep it in the summer. It stays closed.
The Rangers are retractable.
Yeah,
because so Houston's retractable.
Yeah.
When we went to the Rangers game, it was hot, and they zipped that thing up.
Yeah. I mean, the Royals is outside, and fucking Missouri is hot as fuck in the summer. I mean, it's 100 degrees there. It's the same in Kansas City as it is here right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Plus, it's way more humid there because there's lakes everywhere.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's
crazy. Next up here, kids, Ivy League schools are crazier than North Korea. When someone who grew up in a country filled with anti-Western propaganda, suffocating political correctness and collective guilt, says things that are going a little too far, it might be time to listen, maybe. Man, I am terrible with all names, let alone Korean names. Is that Yeonmi?
Probably. Actually, we're going to...
I got that right. Congratulations.
Before we continue with this, we're going to start a new segment. I'm not kidding. I talked to Dani about it already. She's going to start getting it done. But it's a segment where you have to pronounce words. So,
good luck.
Anyway, yeah, North Korean defector. Her last name is Park. Imagine that. Who fled with her mother to escape tyrannical dictatorship of Kim Jong-il. In 2016, she transferred from a South Korean university to the prestigious Columbia University. And
yes.
She is now quoted as saying, North Korea was pretty crazy, but not this crazy. The 27-year-old says that she expected to learn how to think from the American university, but was instead told what to think, something that we talk about a lot.
Uh-huh.
According to her, during orientation, she expressed enjoying books by Jane Austen, but was scolded by a staff member who said the author was a racist bigot who was subconsciously trying to brainwash her. I don't know how you can subconsciously try to brainwash someone from beyond the grave.
Yeah.
But yeah. Why not? She said she was confused by the students saying how oppressed they were and how much injustice they've experienced, but she had literally walked across the Gobi Desert at the age of 13 to escape true oppression.
That's so great. Yeah. I wish that conversation was on videotape.
I'm telling you, it's the same thing I witnessed when I was doing those, when I was doing security, plainclothes security at Berkeley,
mm-hmm.
right? During all the Occupy Wall Street shit, my buddy, who is a fucking Oakland police officer, black dude who grew up in West Oakland, right?
Yeah.
Fucking 19-year-old white child right over there yelling racist at him. And I'm looking at back and forth between the two, and I'm like, am I missing something? Did you say cracker? What happened here?
Yeah.
And she was like, you're a fucking white supremacist racist looking. I'm like, oh, man, just dye your fucking hair pink and get it over with. Stupid bitch. What concerns her most is this. The people here are just dying to give their rights and power to the government.
Yeah.
That's probably the most important thing she said during this little diatribe.
This is my favorite story of the week, actually.
Yeah.
Because if it's, you're saying... It's crazier than North Korea.
Yeah, that's not great.
No, not great. And Columbia University, all colleges, and I don't know if you felt this way when you went to school, but like, it depends on the professors you get and their level of caring and interest.
Mm.
Most of them have their beliefs and they're like, well, you're fucking wrong and that's it. They won't listen to anything else. Others are trying to get tenured and they don't, you know, they'll try everything. Mm. Like, I can totally imagine everything she's saying. Like, this does not seem false whatsoever.
No, I've experienced this firsthand, so it's certainly not false.
Mm-hmm. Right? What was your experience?
Well, what I just told you.
Oh, right? I didn't know. But in college, like, did you have anything at Penn State that stuck out? Or I actually
can you
did
imagine?
At Ohio State.
Can you imagine someone trying that with me though? Like, I usually set the tone right off the bat. People know that I'm not to be trifled with,
right?
In that way, and it doesn't happen very frequently. To be honest, it's happened a couple of times, not at Penn State. It's happened a couple of times just in my normal day-to-day life.
Mm-hmm.
But even people who are like far one way or the other trying to speak to me about things like that will measure what they say for sure, because they know that I can light them up. Right?
So when I was in college, it actually happened to me. I took this is typical Chad shit, whatever, frat star shit, but I took women's studies to hang out with hot girls that that's what I thought. Obviously, that's what all of us think is dudes. Get there, it is not attractive women whatsoever.
And no, the cheerleading squad is not in the women's studies class, by the way.
It's a lot of lesbians in there. Wrote the first two papers, and I got like D's and F's, and I finally met with a professor afterwards. There was a woman, I said, look, what's wrong with what I'm writing and in the assignments and everything else? And she goes, you're just not grasping what it's like to be a real woman, right? She's just not grasping what feminism is or whatever. And we had the last paper of the semester due. So I called my stepsister, who's got an academic scholarship to Bowling Green at the time. And I go, can you write this last woman's studies paper for me? I just want to see.
Just as a test.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'll pay you. So I paid her, you know, $300 or whatever it was to do it. And she wrote the paper for me. And I got the thing back. D-. Ross, you just still didn't get what it was like to be a woman. And I couldn't say anything because if I did, then I, you know.
Yeah,
would have been expelled from the school for cheating and everything else. So I was stuck, and I failed the fucking class. I failed one class in college, and that was it. So, yes, they're set in their ways.
Yeah.
If you look a certain way or if you challenge any authority or question things that you're reading or any assignments, they're going to tell you to go fuck yourself.
Right. Yeah, that's certainly true. The only B I ever got in college, by the way, was freshman orientation.
Is it really?
Yeah. And I just walked in the first day. And I was like, look, I'm not doing any of this. this is like child bullshit. If people are here and they can't figure that out, then they're not going to make it in life, and I'm not going to participate in this charade. You give me the assignments, and I'll do them, but I'm not coming to this class. And I did all the assignments, and the dude at the end was like, well, I mean, you know, technically attendance is part of the grade, so I'm going to have to give you a B. I'm like, yeah, you could have told me that before, and I would have fucking put a cutout. I still wouldn't have come. Fuck you. What a cunt.
Yeah, that was a waste of time.
All of college was a waste of time. All of high school was a waste of time. Everything, it's all stupid. You don't learn shit in any of those things. All you do is
socialization.
You learn how to, socialization is important, yeah, but you just learn how to look shit up in college.
Yeah. Yeah. And now.
And organize. I learned how to write better, I suppose, like in a more organized way, but.
Yeah.
Not in any way that mattered.
You could have just taken Babbel, Dan.
I did.
From Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com. Helping you learn a new language. If you're out there and you want some easy courses on how to learn a new language, you're doing it right now. Is it you and Dakota?
Yeah.
Yeah. What are you guys studying?
Spanish.
Spanish.
Yeah. For a couple of reasons. One, it's easy.
Well, in the region we live in, a lot of people speak Spanish, so it's helpful.
Yeah, and we're also working on some stuff down at the border, so that'll probably come in handy.
Gotcha. Yeah, because it's odd when I meet people and they're like, oh, yeah, I'm studying German. I'm like, for what?
Well, just in case the Fourth Reich shows back up, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, why? Germany's been irrelevant forever. The fuck out of here.
It's strange, but it's offered. It is on Babbel.
Ooh, they're probably not going to like that Fourth Reich joke in the middle of an ad, are they? I forgot we were doing that.
Are they?
It's too bad.
Fine.
This is actually a free one for them anyway, so you guys just calm down.
Go to Babbel.com today. Look, over 14 different languages. German is actually included in those languages. So is Mandarin.
All the major ones.
John Cena. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Spanish, everything else. It makes it super easy. It's not like the other one, the big one, where you're just like, oh, man. This is teaching you like simple phrases and all the things you would actually need if you were going to go to those countries or have a conversation with somebody else. Go to Babbel.com today. That is Babbel.com. Use the promo code Drinking Bros, and that'll get you an extra 3 months free when you order 6 months. So if you order 3 months, congratulations. It's doubled, and you're getting 6 months out of that. That is Babbel.com, Babbel.com. Promo code Drinking Bros will get you 3 free months there. Babbel, the language for life, D'Anthony. Next up, we got Rob Riggle. He's in the chamber here. This is one of the weirdest stories of all time.
Yeah.
So I don't know if this is real or if this is part of the divorce. I'll tell you what the story is, and then we'll go from there. But it appears to me that his ex-wife is batshit crazy. Now, obviously, Rob Riggle's a Marine veteran, former Daily Show correspondent. He also hosts Holy Moly on Thursday nights that me and my children are huge fans of. The Putt-Putt Show. Big fans of that. Steph Curry is the one that's created that. They're saying in this divorce proceeding, because he's getting divorced from his lady here, that he used counterintelligence tactics to uncover the person behind the theft of $28,000 in constant digital harassment. The perpetrator turned out to be his ex-wife, Tiffany, who he had divorced last October after 27 years of marriage. Not long after their separation, Rob noticed that $28,000 in cash had gone missing from his emergency fund that he kept in his home. Later, he began to receive anonymous texts and emails referencing private information that he had not spoke about outside of his home. In response, Riggle started a misinformation campaign offering fake information out loud while in his home or in his office. This story, basically what he's trying to say is his ex-wife has been taping him, not only audio-wise, but video-wise.
She's trying to do what I said.
Yeah.
Get a Mel Gibson or a what was the Donald Sterling?
The LA Clippers. Yeah.
By the way, this is called a canary trap.
Yeah.
Where you release different pieces of information. Like you release the same information with small details altered.
Yeah.
Like the color of a shirt or the name of a city or the time of day. And then when you hear it from the third source, then you know exactly which primary source it came from. This is a...
So it's different than a honeypot.
A honeypot is not even close to this.
Not even close.
Okay, I was wondering.
But they got 10,000 videos of him in his home, as well as his ex-wife, Tiffany installing the camera and then sitting on the floor counting money. So that's probably going to hurt her chances a little bit, you know, once that pops up. But
I mean, TMZ originally reported this.
They did.
That he discovered a smoke detector that had a built-in spy camera in it. Yeah. She probably bought it from Wish.com, too. Like, what a fucking dummy. If any of this is true, she's retarded.
Yeah, I don't know. It's one of these things where these celebrity divorces get so messy. Mm. You wonder if they're true or not. I don't know in this case. I know this. Like, Rob Riggle, he makes a decent living, right? But it's not... You're not talking like Bezos money or shit like that.
No, so. I mean, he's probably worth 10 or 15 million.
I think, you know, she's probably bitter after being married for 27 years. And rightfully so. Homeboy's dating a younger girl. But if you are illegally taping him and releasing it to the world, obviously, then you get problems. But
they live in California, I presume, right?
Yeah.
That's a two-way consent state, by the way. Yeah. Two-party consent. That means both parties being recorded have to agree to it. Mm-hmm. Some states are single party or dual party, but not all party consent. Meaning, mm-hmm. If we were having a meeting with all of us in here right now, and you and I agreed to be recorded, but they didn't, we could still record everything that happened.
Right.
So it's different state to state. California Correct. Requires everybody's say so to fucking be recorded.
Somebody just gave 69. Gigi just gave 69.69 in honor of Jack Mandeville's Instagram post today. I have not seen it. But he's one of the very best humans out there doing it today. And I will check out Jack Mandeville's posts when the show ends today. In the meantime, you can check out drinkingbros.com for some new merch. We've got all the merch is back. Everything is back. We got these in gray now. Dan's hat. Pan over to Dan's hat. We got the new hats in there as well. Boom, boom. All of those are on drinkingbros.com. You can click on the store filled to the brim with merch. And there's new items coming every single week. So check out drinkingbros.com. It's also where you can submit the Drinking Bro of the Week. By the way, we just happen to have them in studio today, which is nice. Next up, God must be very angry with Australia. After facing a prolonged drought, parts of Australia were recently hit with severe flooding, leading to over $1 billion in property damage and at least three deaths. Sometime around March of this year, millions of mice began to overrun towns and farms, destroying crops, homes, and vehicles, and homeowners have been reported catching between 500 to 600 mice per night. That's per night, Dan. That is a lot. One is still a lot per night. 500 to 600 per night is...
Yeah, what is it, like the fucking thunder? I mean, how do you catch 500 or 600 in a night? Is it all in some kind of trap? Or are you like individually... Do you have one of those things you use outside to pick garbage up off the ground, the spike thing? You're just stabbing fucking rats all night? There's no way.
I don't know. One woman ended up in the hospital after she woke up to find a mouse chewing on her eyeball, which is always a fun thing. Because they get hungry. You got to go for that eyeball. An Australian mechanic reported that he has had countless vehicles brought to his garage for repairs due to the damage from the rodents chewing through cables and hoses. Now, that I've seen, actually.
In, like, yeah, hat, by the way, hats are not like on the that. Store yet. I just caught that.
Really?
No.
All right.
No.
All right.
But there's a bunch of new shit getting added early next week.
Okay.
I forgot about that. Sorry about that.
Nah,
anyways,
pictures of the countryside now show massive sheets of webs covering the ground and street signs and the exteriors of some houses, literally covered with swarming spiders. So that's another biblical fucking thing. Isn't that the
spiders?
Is it the insects?
Were not so,
in the Bible.
It was locusts.
There it is.
But
I know you'd know.
Our version is cicadas, I guess. Which Americans, instead of responding the way that you should to a plague, just fried them and ate them.
They're cooking them
because they're fat fuck Americans. Like, that's you, that God never had a chance in America. He tried to send plagues and we're like, hey, fucking deep fry that shit, man. Hell yeah.
Oof.
That's how we responded.
All these stories coming out because they got the scorching heat and the mice and the spiders and all that shit. All these stories coming out of Australia, though, that's exactly what I pictured Australia to be like. I'm not one of those people who's ever said in my life, man, I really want to go to Australia.
New Zealand, yes.
Okay.
Australia, not a fucking chance. There's a lot of drinking bros there, actually. They seem to like it.
Tons. I don't know if they do. I think they're stationed over
there. Well, I mean, there's cities there, too, I imagine. But half that goddamn country burned down last year, and we don't even remember because of COVID.
No.
Like, there were 10 billion animals that died last year.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
In January or February of last year. It's crazy.
Seeing all those burnt-up koalas.
Yeah.
And shit. Kangaroos.
Yeah, it's wild there. I just don't... it's hard living out there. It's got to be, right? I like air conditioning and not spiders. Those are my two favorite things. A conditioned air around me and not having spiders on me. Two of my favorite, very favorite things in the
world.
It's
hard living out there is what you said. It's hard living out there.
And for what? For what?
No, they as a people deserve to be victim blamed.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Well, it's not like you can just fucking pick up and move from...
you could hop.
Yeah, it's one thing to move from Indiana to L.A. It's another thing to, you know, move from Australia to a real country.
How far is New Zealand? It's not that far, right?
It's fairly far.
Is it a boat ride? Is it a ferry ride?
I seriously doubt New Zealand's like, oh, yeah, you guys just come on over here. No. New Zealand's like, fuck off.
You wonder.
Stay the fuck out of here.
Don't let you in. They don't let Americans in right now.
Oh,
yeah, right now, but I mean, under any other circumstances, I imagine it's very difficult to emigrate to New Zealand.
I think marry somebody.
James Cameron is living there now, so.
He lives actually in the sea, under the sea.
Yeah.
Under the sea, like.
He built that little submarine, remember? He went down to look for the Titanic.
Is he really living under the sea? Because that would be way more impressive than Bezos, like, just going up into space for 10 seconds.
Oh, yeah,
Whatever the fuck. Living under the sea, that's a fucking super villain kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
When is that flight, by the way? Is it Tuesday for Bezos? Hot bomb? Because we want to go live when he dies.
He's not going to die.
We don't know. There's no pilot in there, so there's a chance.
Ross, you can't call it yet.
There's a chance. Okay.
It's not a real flight to space.
You're doing something with a rocket.
It's the
things
Richard
can go wrong.
Branson bullshit, like zero gravity.
It's on July 20th.
July 20th. So when is that? Oh, shit. That's next month?
Yeah. I
we'll go live. Is it during the week? Yeah. What time is he fucking flying? Well, I think homeboy.
I think they should put the... No, I'm not saying race to see who can get there fastest. Okay. I'm saying put the two rockets next to each other.
Yeah.
And then see which one gets out first.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Right? And they're just like flipping each other off from the... and one of them... And then like it will continue to escalate. Like Bezos will put fucking flames down the side of his, and then fucking obviously Branson's going to put a Confederate flag and the General Lee thing on the top of his.
Yeah.
Can you imagine a fucking NASA rocket painted like the General Lee and then Kid Rock's flying it?
Oh, great.
Got a full on mullet. Get in, guys.
Yeah.
Just chugging beers. Hillbilly Star Wars.
Is that a thing?
Not yet.
It should be.
Can we make a Hillbilly Star Wars?
So good. Hey, what time is that flight kicking off, Bob? Because I do want to go live.
Space flights are usually pretty early in the morning.
Yeah, right? It's usually like at 11 a.m., I feel like.
Yeah, it's somewhere between 9 and 11. Get it?
Yeah, nailed it.
July 20th is a Tuesday, so that's perfect.
Yeah, we're in, dude. I want to see Bezos not make it. All right, would YouTube pull down the video or take us off the air if I started laughing?
100. They would take it down regardless.
If it blows up and I started laughing, because it's Bezos, though. It's not
also,
like a normal person.
Like super early morning, like most flights, I don't think you're getting up in time.
Yeah, it's like these flights happen at like 6, 7 in the morning at the latest a lot of times.
I don't know. Find out. I mean, look, my kids get up at 7, so I'm up at 7. So whatever. If it's before 7, no. But if it's not, if it's a nice nooner for that flight, yeah, dude, we're going live for that, and I want to watch Bezos possibly not make it.
It is only 11 minutes.
Wait, here's...
The whole entire thing?
Yeah.
Here's
including the landing?
It's what it says here. It's 11 minutes.
Well, that's if he lands.
Hey.
Oh, if he lands, yeah.
Why not just... you know where they're taking off from?
Where?
About 70 miles outside of Marfa.
Oh, in Texas?
Yeah.
Shit. We should pop on down there and see it in person. Get some, we'll shoot it in like 8mm.
Yeah, live broadcast.
But shoot it in 8mm like we're looking at, you know, the 60s footage of Neil Armstrong and that shit taking off. And it's Bezos' dick rocket that's flying up there. That thing just looks like a goddamn penis.
I can't find the schedule.
For the flight?
Yeah.
I'm not seeing a time. I'm not seeing a time listed.
I think you have to go to Amazon.com.
You have to be a Prime member for that.
Are they showing? Is that where they're streaming it, by the way? And that's a real question. Are they going to stream his flight off of Amazon Prime that
day? They should. Why would you give anybody else the right to see that shit?
I agree. They're streaming football this year.
They should set up a fence barrier far enough out where cameras can't get there and tell the rest of the press to go fuck themselves and then turn it into an NFT and sell it.
Yeah, I'm sure they will.
Yeah.
I'm sure they will.
Do we tailgate it?
Yes, people do that shit all the time for
I think
for
we need
rockets.
To get all those Naruto runners or whatever the fuck and get them out there that we're going to storm the Area 51 storm and tackle a rocket as it's trying to go up. You could do it.
Rocket. I think so.
Yeah, like a bunch of Richard Branson fans come out there and fucking try to tackle a rocket.
Yeah. Well,
they want Branson to get there first.
Big Dick Branson, there's a rumor that he's going to go on the 4th of July.
I think he should go like the 19th.
The day before?
Like make him think he missed his window and then do it the day before, right when Bezos is at peak excitement. You know how that would ruin Bezos' life? He'd probably kill himself after that. Or he might kill fucking Branson.
Yeah.
Which would be funny. We haven't had enough billionaires killing other billionaires.
Has there been one in the history of this country?
I don't know.
Like that's a great softcore.
I don't know what
you guys do. Softcore history podcast. That'd be a great one.
McAfee killed somebody.
Yes.
Yeah, but he never got convicted of that shit.
He killed the guy that owned Tailgaters at UCF.
Really?
Yeah. It was like a.
Yeah, he was on John McAfee. He was on the run in South America for a while.
Oh, yeah. There's a great documentary on Showtime called Gringo about him, and it's
hilarious.
Fucking wild shit.
It's so weird.
I just didn't know whether the stories were true. That was my thing.
I don't know if he actually killed the guy, but he was definitely he was indicted for it, and they were looking for him.
Yeah. And he was on the run.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how that finished. I mean, he's not in prison now, so
he came back.
Still. Yeah,
I think I heard he came back, and they fucking got him on something.
No, I thought he was in Belize still.
Well, do you Belize?
I don't know.
In life after love, last but not least, here Cape Cod lobster diver claims he was swallowed by a whale, but the story seems fishy. No, you love puns, Dan, and those are all for you.
Right I didn't now. Listen to anything you just said. Now, he returned to the United States in 2013, but he's since been charged with tax evasion, obviously.
Yeah, tax evasion. They didn't get him on any murders.
And I don't know if Bill and Hillary Clinton are billionaires either, but they've got a pretty...
So you guys are talking about that American Party?
Yeah, if you watch American Party tomorrow, the name of the show is The Many Murders of Hillary Clinton.
Yes, that's going to be a good one. Yeah. So that'll be live on this network. This guy, this diver, this is a real story. Last Friday, veteran lobster diver, there it is, Biden. Michael Packard was around 45 feet underwater when the world around him suddenly went black. According to the diver, he could feel that he was being squeezed by something and initially assumed he had been attacked by a great white shark. Realizing he couldn't feel any teeth, he made the obvious assumption that a whale had given him the Pinocchio treatment.
What's the Pinocchio treatment?
Ah, come on. It's just enabling you to lie, you know?
Mm.
He says he struggled inside the belly of the whale. He thought one of his children. He thought of his children. Is that fuck you? Did he really say that? And how he may never see them again. Roughly 30 seconds later, Packard saw light and was suddenly thrown free of the whale's mouth at the surface. He was pulled from the water by a fellow crewman and rushed to Cape Cod Hospital, where he was treated for minor injuries. Experts are calling this story into question, however, due to the rarity of similar events and the lack of barotrauma.
Barotrauma, I don't know what that like, is. I mean, I guess the bends would technically be one, but when you go too deep and the water is too pressurized,
your head would explode. Yeah.
Well, that is the extreme case, but you start to get contusions all over your body and shit as well.
Yeah. And this guy didn't have any.
No, he didn't. So he apparently ascended from a 45-foot depth in 30 seconds. It should have caused severe damage to his eardrums, for example. So
it would have blown out.
The bends will fuck you up. You can't ascend too high or too quickly in water. Your body has to like gradually adjust to it.
And it'll bust. It'll bust your eardrums. So like,
and it didn't.
It did not.
So, I mean, maybe he was protected by the belly of the whale.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I would have grabbed a souvenir, right? Like cut off. He's down there. He's a fucking crabber, right? Or a lobster diver. He's got to have something sharp on him. Carve off a little piece, dude.
Yeah.
Do something. Instead of thinking of your bullshit kids, Because let's be real, you're a fucking lobster diver. Your kids don't love you. They don't give a fuck about you, man. Are you kidding me? When in Family Guy, when Peter lost his real job, mm-hmm. he became a lobster diver. Are you fucking kidding me? Or he's a fisherman or some shit. I don't know. But your parents don't love you. Your kids don't love you. You should have taken the time out to, and then this is for the audience. If you guys get swallowed by a whale anytime soon, carve off a piece. Grab a little bit of evidence. You know what I mean? Because nobody's going to fucking believe you. Jackass.
This story was the craziest shit ever. It was like, man, it felt like a cartoon live where you're just like, what?
This is, who is this? Tom Brown says modern day balloon boy. Absolutely. Same fucking thing. They made all this shit up. Speaking of making shit up, I thought this story, before we leave, I thought this story was made up or just too crazy to believe, but mm-hmm. apparently there's some actual evidence. So we were talking before about Anna Polina, who's an Air Force veteran, if I'm not mistaken.
She was on Drinking Broettes.
Yeah, she ran for Congress and just got destroyed because, frankly, she doesn't know anything.
Right.
Sorry. But one of the guys that's running against her in the new seat that she's running for, which is Florida District 13, I believe, has apparently – she filed a restraining order against him and some other woman. When I say she, I mean Anna Polina did. Filed a restraining order against – this dude and some other woman that's also involved in the Republican Party down there, saying they were threatening to kill her and all this other shit. Mm-hmm. And when I see things like that, I'm like, come on, man. Come on.
It's pretty awesome.
It's hard to believe, but apparently there's an audio tape of Mr. William Braddock, and he says the following: I really don't want to have to end anybody's life for the good of the people of the United States of America, but if it needs to be done, it needs to be done. And apparently threatened to send a Russian-Ukrainian hit squad after her or some shit. Like, what do you guys just got Russian-Ukrainian hit squads on speed dial?
Maybe.
Or some shit? Like, hey, Dimitri, would you mind?
Would you mind?
Could you tuck your chest hair in for 5 seconds and come kill this guy for me, please?
I'm going through a thing. Would you mind coming over here and taking care of it for me?
Oh, my God, man.
She's not going to win, right? Is she still in this thing? Or?
I mean, now she might get more name ID and win. I have no idea, but it's a former... The seat has been held for a while, I think, by Charlie Crist, who is not Republican.
I mean, Juice Space Laser is in office, so... Anything's possible.
What? Oh, yeah, yeah. Jeez, Marjorie Jason. Taylor Greene?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you never know. I mean, I just think I've watched a lot of the discussions and debates and things like that that Polina's been involved in, and sorry.
Well, that's a lot of politicians, Sam.
It's everyone.
It's a lot of politicians.
Well, I mean, some people actually know what they're talking about, though. She's not going to win, no. If she does, it would be a bad thing if she did win, frankly.
Her life is under, she's in extreme danger. Two people are going to murder her, two politicians.
Maybe. I mean, she's a friend of Matt Gaetz. I don't know. I haven't heard much about him lately.
No, he's been silent.
Yeah. I don't remember why, though.
I don't either. I can't.
Something about a 17-year-old girlfriend and bringing her on the road with him.
Something minor. Yeah. Nailed it. Proud of myself for that one. I have a feeling we're not going to hear about that for a while.
No.
And then Kevin Walters here at the end said, Dan, stop hating on my baseball team. And I want to use this super chat to get Ross.
Wait, which baseball team?
Babble. You guys rock. I'm guessing the Astros.
Well, I was talking about the Angels earlier.
Oh, yeah.
If you're an Angels fan, look, nobody in, there's like fucking 12 fans.
Yeah,
dude.
I don't know any of them in real life.
So
met an Angels fan in real life? It's like meeting somebody from South Dakota where you're like, that's never
happened. Angels fan. I mean, I meet a lot of people that are fans of Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout.
Yes, but I think diehard Angels fan.
The biggest piece of fiction in Angels in the Outfield was not, in fact, God or an angel helping them win. It was just that stadium being full or people caring.
Especially back then.
Yeah.
The only time I've been in that stadium full was during the World Series when they played Barry Bonds. That was the only time it was sold out.
Rally Monkey?
Mm-hmm. Rally Monkey. I was there for that. Bonds ripped off a fucking ding-dong that still has not landed, and the entire stadium stopped in awe. It was just like, oh, my God. It was incredible. By the way, on Babbel, do they have English? Because that's what I need to go back and relearn. That would be great, Kevin Walters. Now's the point in the show. We get to the Drinking Bro of the Week. As you know, we leave the studio open. So if you want to come down and see a show, boom, pop on in. Just hop in at Dan Holloway on Instagram or at STJames, STJames. And we'll give you the address and you can pop on. If you're in town, we usually have merch and all that other fun stuff. And then we bring you on as Drinking Bros of the Week. That way you guys get to see people who are in the chats, in the communities, and that everybody is friends with in real life. You, sir, come on up first. Look at you. You got the Black Rifle Coffee gear on. You're doing all of it right today.
I'm all geared up.
Yeah. Welcome to the show. You're a Drinking Bro of the Week. Tell everybody your name.
So I'm Jeremy Nagy, N-A-G-Y.
Yep.
So take the word Navy, Ross.
Yeah.
Throw G in it.
Yeah. That's and pronounce it. That's pronounce that G. It's not a soft G.
Exactly. It's not Najee.
Najee. Where are you from?
Allentown, Pennsylvania.
Oh, shit. Did we do a bunch of gigs in Pennsylvania?
Yeah. Delco Dam back there.
Oof. How bad is Delco?
So I definitely have that accent. The home hoagies.
Kate Winslet. Yeah.
Yeah. The whole thing. So I definitely understand where he's coming from there.
And what are you guys doing down here?
We're just partying, really. So last year it was supposed to be my buddy's bachelor party, mm-hmm. and that got fucked to hell.
Is that him? Is that your buddy?
That's him right there. Okay. Yeah. So that got canceled, and so we decided, hey, let's just go down and, you know, have a blast and just get wrecked.
Great town,
so,
right?
Yeah.
I love this town.
Yeah, it was interesting though. Yesterday we went to go buy some alcohol, mm-hmm. and we made the mistake of walking down Sixth Street in broad daylight, and this homeless guy said to my buddy, he's like, hey, nice shirt. And we just, you know, ignored him like you do.
Sure.
So he said it again. And he's like, hey, nice shirt. And he turned around. He's like, thanks, man. And he just like went off on us for like 10 minutes. And that like couldn't have changed any quicker. Like, I was like, get me the fuck out of here right now.
I will say this. They passed a bill where they're cleaning it up, luckily, the homelessness and all that other stuff. But it's still a fucking liberal city where you've got liberal city council and all that shit. And, you know.
Yeah. We were down here 3 years ago, and it wasn't as bad as it is now.
No.
And I'm like, holy shit.
Part of it's COVID. Part of it is, well, every liberal-owned city or politically run city. So
yeah, exactly.
It sucks because it's beautiful here, and you're like, God damn it, man. So is L.A., though. Dude, when I was living in Los Angeles, as much as we joke about it, like there was a good 10-year stretch where it was like, oh, shit, this is clean.
Yeah.
I feel safe outside. Everything's fine. And then that all went to fucking shit.
Well, we were just talking about that Cecil Hotel documentary.
Oh, yeah.
And how bad the homelessness is down there, mm-hmm. like Skid Row and all that shit. And, you know, L.A.'s a, you know, shit show, but...
Shit show.
Yeah. I mean, down here, it's beautiful. Like, it's a good time. It good is. Place to party and eat. Like, we were at Loro yesterday, and...
Oh, shit. Were you really?
Yeah.
Dude, it's great. So we take people to Loro all the time.
Yeah, we got that massive, like, beef rib. It was amazing.
Really good. We enjoy the Loro a lot.
Yeah.
Terry Black's, though, is the BBQ.
We drove by it, but we went to La Barbecue and Franklin. We went to Franklin today.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
What'd you think of that brisket?
It was awesome.
Best in the biz, right?
I thought it was... Yeah, fantastic.
God damn, it's good.
Yeah,
it's good.
Really good.
How long have you been listening to the show?
Day one.
No shit. Day
Pegging
one homie,
explained.
Dude.
Yeah.
There you go, dude.
Is that Mike Piazza, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I remember that.
Mike Piazza. Yeah. I dated his ex-girlfriend, and then she claimed that she pegged him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whether or not that's true. Yeah. It's a weird story to make up. I didn't know, you know.
I don't know how you can make that up,
I
really.
Don't either.
Yeah.
She might be telling the truth.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's your buddy? This is the one from the bachelor party?
So, that's Justin over there.
Justin, pop on in.
Yeah.
You listen to the show?
Yeah.
Come on up, Justin. Thanks for being here, buddy. Yeah, anybody you want to shout out real
Appreciate
quick
it.
Before Justin comes up?
No, just my buddy Justin there. Right. And, you know, he's my my drinking bro, so.
No wife, no kids?
No, not me. He's one married up, so.
Proud of you.
Yeah.
Pop on in, Justin. Pop on in. Hopefully you get to have that bachelor party before... you got married, right?
Well, we had to do kind of an adjusted bachelor party. We did the best we could with circumstances of COVID. Yeah, I should know this better. I was a video student back in the day.
Were you? You were an AV guy and you don't know how to talk in the microphone.
I know. It's been like 15 years. I know. I originally wanted to get into broadcasting. That was my original thing. And because I don't play sports, I'm probably just not that good at it. I never got there. So.
Really? You look like an athletic dude.
I was, I played football 100 years ago, but, you know, just never made it. So it is what it is. But so we had an adjusted bachelor party, I'll call it. We just did like a dude's night out and
were you married at this point or was it before?
No, it was still before. It was about a month before. But yeah, we were going to come down to Austin and we were just like, well, fuck it. This is the best thing we can do. So we went and gotten some steaks and, just drank some bourbon, smoked some cigars and did our thing.
That's cool.
So this is like a very late bachelor party. I got married in September. So, and all my friends have like babies and stuff now except for him. So,
yeah.
So we're like, all right, well, it's the easiest to coordinate the two of us coming down here. So
how old are you?
I'm 33.
Okay. It's a great time to do it.
Yeah.
First marriage.
Yes.
Yes. Get married in your 30s where it's like, all right, because at that age, that's right around the age that I got married, where it was like all the bullshit that you did in your 20s, like you're good on that. Mm. So you're like, all right, cool. So the bachelor party, you're not like, I'm going to get fucking whores. I'm going to get fucking prostitutes. You don't do that anymore because you're like, all right, I'm in my 30s and this is like, we're good on that. Is if you weren't banging prostitutes and whores in the past, then it's like, why start now at this point? And then you're right about the kids thing. So once you start having kids and then your friends have kids, you only go to events with your friends that have kids because then there's going to be this asshole over here who's just, let's do shots. And it's like, bro, I got a fucking T-ball game tomorrow. Like, no, on a Saturday. And then he'll be out of the friend group. So that's important. That's important. That's why we wanted you here both today. That way you could say goodbye to each other live.
Our last hurrah right here.
Because as soon as that baby crowns, he will no longer be a friend. You know, he'll be coming over, just like switching channels and shit. And you'll be like, no, not the game, Blippi. It's fucking Blippi, all right? You got to leave Blippi on. So say goodbye to your friendship. Who's your wife? You want to shout out your wife?
Absolutely, yeah. So my wife, her name's Megan. So she's super cool. She's a chef. So
she white?
She is.
I'm totally, of course.
You're so we told you about some of the barbecue spots we're hitting. Me and my wife are both big foodies, so we were just like, fuck it, I'm coming down for barbecue. What better place to do it than here? So
no, there's great. That Mexican joint Valentina's is really goddamn good as well.
That's on our list for Saturday.
It's the best. It is the fucking best. That's the best queso I've ever had too in my life. And get the brisket tacos and then throw some queso on that. Enjoy your fucking life. That place is great.
That's you want right to shout out?
What's the fajita meat?
Yeah, for sure.
The beef fajita meat.
So goddamn good. For real, that place is the jam.
I can't wait.
What's you want to shout out her restaurant?
Absolutely, yeah. My wife's restaurant is called Morgan's Local Flavor. It's in Allentown, Pennsylvania, where we live. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
And you guys aren't leaving Pennsylvania, I can tell.
I mean,
there's people from Pennsylvania, New Jersey
already.
Exactly. 100%. Yeah. You stay, you end up staying. And that's the deal with Pennsylvania.
Hopefully that changes. I don't know. we always say I need to move south. It's more my climate. I'm personally like, I'm a beach guy. I know he is too. And I just love the warmer weather. It's why we love coming down here too. I don't mind it being 95 degrees.
Yeah.
Rather than the bullshit like 0 degree weather in Pennsylvania, clean up our cars every morning. So
I get it. I get it. Are you saying go birds for the Eagles? They're not going to be good for years and years to come.
Yeah.
And then they lost last night. Did you guys watch the game last night?
Yeah.
It was best game ever. Best game ever.
What are you talking about?
Atlanta Hawks.
Are we talking about the Jazz choking?
Nope. Talking about the Hawks versus the 76ers. Down by 26 points and came back and won that. It was the best. Welcome to an Atlanta fan. I know a little something about being down by 25 or 26 late into the third quarter and then you lose. I'll just go ahead and tell you can never recover from that. That team will lose next game. It's Hawks and six and then it's all over.
Yeah.
When is game six? Is it Saturday? Or Friday night?
I think Friday tomorrow.
Ooh. God damn it. I'll be raging tomorrow. And then you've got we've got a bet since you guys are Pennsylvania, you're Sixers fans. We have a bet. That shitty guy who scored 14 points the other day. What's his name?
Shake Milton.
Shake Milton.
He's not getting enough run.
His name is Shake Milton, guys. As in milkshake. Okay. He scored
SMU great.
The SMU's known for their basketball.
They were with Larry Brown.
What year was that?
Larry Brown, I think, was there until 2014.
Sure. A long time ago. Lots changed in the world. They've never won a fucking title either. Get the fuck out of here with that bullshit.
Sanctions.
No, no, not that either, my man. But, you know, with that Hawks victory, the game six is going to force him into wearing a Trae Young jersey for 30 days straight on the show. Or if the Sixers come back and win this series, I have to wear a Shake Milton jersey for 30 days straight. So,
wow.
Yes.
We'll be back. We're fine.
The surprising thing to me was that there was a Shake Milton jersey for sale. That exists in the world. And I was like, all right, great. And now I have to check now because Bob and I's previous bet, that is the only jersey we've never been able to locate. We have the best dudes on the planet. It was the Morrison.
Adam Morrison Gonzaga, yeah, which is an absurd one to not be able to find.
Could not get an Adam Morrison Gonzaga jersey, which is fucking crazy to me. But the Shake Milton jersey exists. Yeah. So if the Sixers pull off a miracle and come back and win two in a row.
You are Atlanta.
Yeah, I am Atlanta.
You still are Atlanta.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It'd be very, you know, Atlanta to blow a 3-2 lead.
It would, unless, you know, the team that you're playing just blew a 26-point lead.
Well, like, we do have Doc Rivers, so yeah.
Who was a point guard for Atlanta. So there you go. You're welcome. You're welcome for all that. Kids, we appreciate you stopping by today.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
We got some merch. We got all the fucking cool shit here. And obviously, you're a huge Black Rifle Coffee fan. So cheers. Cheers. Yeah, it's right. You were the one medium listener. Because you were like, hey, dude, do you have any medium? No. You've seen our listener? There's no mediums out there, brother. I haven't worn a medium since I was six, dude. For D'Anthony, D'Anthony Holloway, I'm Ross Patterson. These are actually the real drinking bros. Thank you for tuning in to Fake News. Good night, everyone.